Negotiation Genius. How to overcome obstacles and achieve brilliant results at the bargaining table and beyond. Authors: Deepak Malhotra and Max H. Bazerman. The need for negotiation. Too many people, including many seasoned dealmakers, think of negotiation as being all art and no science. We offer a more systematic and effective approach. The resulting framework will help you achieve superior negotiated outcomes consistently. Preparing to negotiate. Under the false assumption that negotiation is all art and no science, most people fail to prepare adequately for negotiation. Even smart, thoughtful, and motivated people walk into substantive negotiations ill-prepared. It is critical that you adopt a thorough methodology to help you prepare to negotiate. Our 5-step pre-negotiation framework offers a simple yet effective approach. Step 1. Assess your BATNA. Your BATNA, B-A-T-N-A, best alternative to negotiate agreement, is the course of action you will pursue if and when the current negotiation ends in an impasse. To assess your BATNA, 1. Identify all of the plausible alternative options you might pursue if you are unable to reach an agreement with the other party. 2. Estimate the value associated with each alternative. 3. Select the best alternative. This is your BATNA. Step 2. Calculate your reservation value. Your reservation value is your walkaway point in the current negotiation. A rational reservation value is based on a realistic assessment of your alternatives. Step 3. Assess the other party's BATNA. Step 4. Calculate the other party's reservation value. Step 5. Evaluate the ZOPA. The ZOPA is the set of all possible deals that would be acceptable to both parties. It's the space between the seller's reservation value and the buyer's reservation value. Your task in this negotiation is not simply to get a deal, but to claim as much value as possible. The critical task of value creation. Value is whatever people find useful or desirable. Negotiation helps to create value through agreements that make both parties better off than they were without an agreement. Value creation preparation strategies. 1. Identify your multiple interests. Think about all the things that you value that the other party might have the ability to provide. The goal is not to overwhelm the other party with demands, but to give them a lot of different ways to compensate you and make you happy. 2. Create a scoring system. A scoring system offers a way to organize your interested priorities. To create a scoring system, list each issue and weight it according to its importance using a computer spreadsheet program. You'll need to think of a common metric for evaluating each issue. 3. Calculate a package reservation value. Instead of having a reservation value for each issue, the lowest salary I will accept is X dollars, the lowest signing bonus is Y dollars, and the lowest number of stock options is Z. You should use your scoring system to calculate an overall reservation value. 4. Identify the other party's multiple interests. You may be indifferent between whether you start your new job in June or July, but if your potential employer strongly prefers that you start as soon as possible, that's a valuable piece of information. Now you're in a position to give them something that they value, at no cost to you, and get something of value in return. Why negotiations falter. Biases of the mind. The fixed pie bias. Negotiators often fail to create value because they assume there's a fixed pie of value or resources, even when it's possible to increase the size of the pie. The fixed pie bias mistakenly leads us to believe that whatever is good for them is bad for us. The vividness bias. Imagine a group of executives discussing where to allocate R&D dollars within their company. The CEO asks each executive in the room for their opinion, and each provides arguments that would channel more funds to their own division. Why? In part, it may be that the executives are self-interested and seeking to maximize their personal benefits, but on a less conscious level, each executive can vividly imagine how they would use the funds in their own unit, they'll ignore possibilities that are less vivid, but no less valuable, such as how others will utilize the funds. Non-rational escalation of commitment. It is often difficult for negotiators to admit that their initial strategy was ill-conceived or that they may have made a mistake. To avoid acknowledging these facts, they will escalate their commitment even when it's extremely costly and perhaps disastrous to do so. When all of the escalation forces, the hope of victory, the need to justify initial strategy, and the desire to beat the other side come together, simple common sense often flies out the window. Why negotiations falter, biases of the heart, the problem of conflicting motivations. People often face internal negotiations between doing what they want to do versus doing what they think they should do. Too often, the want self dominates the should self in important real-world negotiations, leading to behavior and outcomes that you later regret. The problem only arises during the negotiation. In the heat of the moment, you face strong emotional desires to satisfy your want self in ways that are inconsistent with what you believe you should do. Luckily, you can often predict the impulsive demands of your want self and plan accordingly. Egocentrism. Egocentrism, or the tendency for our perceptions and expectations to be biased in our favor, causes all parties to believe that they deserve more of a shared resource than a neutral advisor would judge as fair. Try to imagine that you would believe to be fair if you did not know your role in a given negotiation or dispute. In other words, what would you believe or decide to be fair if you did not yet know whom you represented in the dispute? Confronting your own biases. What accounts for the difference between the times when we are susceptible to cognitive and motivational biases and the times when we think we behave rationally? One important answer lies in the distinction between System 1 and System 2 thinking. System 1, which corresponds to intuition, is typically fast, automatic, effortless, implicit, and emotional. We make most decisions in life using System 1. By contrast, System 2 corresponds to reasoned thought and is slower, conscious, effortful, explicit, and logical. Busy professionals likely rely on System 1 thinking most of the time, and more often than they should. 1. Make a System 2 list. At the beginning of each month or year, make a list of all the upcoming negotiations that you think should be subject to System 2 thinking. 2. Avoid negotiating under time pressure. Instead of negotiating during a one-hour lunch, set aside an entire afternoon. 3. Partition the negotiation across multiple sessions, no matter how prepared you are. In most complex negotiations, you'll encounter information, issues, and tactics that you did not anticipate. You will need to structure a process that allows you to rethink or re-strategize as needed. Strategies of influence. Defensive, untrusting, or incompetent people can stymie even mutually beneficial ideas and proposals. Thus, would-be negotiation geniuses must find ways to overcome the only reasonable objections of others, but also their closed-mindedness. 1. Highlight their potential losses rather than their potential gains. As a result, when you frame the exact same set of information as a loss, it will be more influential in negotiation than when you frame it as a gain. 2. Disaggregate their gains and aggregate their losses. People seem to prefer finding money in installments, but losing money in one lump sum. In order to maximize pleasure, then you should separate the total gain into lots of small wins, rather than one big win. Meanwhile, to minimize pain, you should put all of the losses together. This gives you only one loss to absorb. 3. Elicit a no. One way to get the yes you want is to allow, or provoke, the other party to say no first. Simply put, if you want something, ask for more than you want, or expect, and be prepared to make concessions. 4. Employ the foot-in-the-door technique. Once someone has agreed to an initial request, they're more psychologically committed to seeing the process through to its end. 5. Leverage the power of justification. refrain from making demands, especially aggressive offers, that will not fit into a sentence with approximately the following structure. I am asking X because... Confronting lies and deception. The best defense against lies and deception is to eliminate your counterpart's temptation to lie. To do this, you need to make salient to them the reasons they should not lie to you. This can be done in a number of ways. 1. Look prepared. Because if you look prepared, it makes them think that you might be able to detect when they're lying, thus making it risky for them to lie to you. 2. Signal your ability to obtain information. If you can signal that you have the ability to discover whether someone lied to you, you may dissuade him from lying in the first place. 3. Don't lie. As time goes on and your counterpart discovers that you have been honest with him, he'll find it easier to be more honest with you. Overclaiming credit. Even honest, well-meaning people are likely to believe that they are contributors to an enterprise than they actually did, and then to make moral judgments about those who disagree with them. One way to diminish the tendency of your group or team members to overclaim credit or contribution is to get them to focus not only on what they've done, but on what each individual, considered one at a time, has done as well. When not to negotiate. Negotiation may be the best option when the costs of negotiation exceed the amount you stand to gain. When your BATNA stinks, and everyone knows it, when negotiation would send the wrong signal to the other party, when the potential harm to the relationship exceeds the expected value from the negotiation, when negotiating is culturally inappropriate, or when your BATNA beats the other side's best possible offer. The path to genius. The best way for you to become a more effective negotiator is to think more deeply and analytically about the framework we have developed. Only by leveraging experience and insight will you truly achieve expertise.